Well, hello there. Welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek. So glad you're able to stop by. We're going to have a good show today for you. Saved a chair for you right down here. There's an open seat for you. I hope you brought a snack and a beverage. Today, we're going to look at healing. Does Jesus still perform healings? And how do you respond to that? Are you suffering from a medical condition right now? Do you know somebody who's suffering from a condition? Do you pray? Do you ask for that healing? Or are you a little hesitant? Well, something caught my attention in today's gospel, which interestingly enough was yesterday's Daily Mass gospel, and it's also the gospel for this coming Sunday's Mass. I mean, I don't ever remember that happening before. Now, today, it's read as one of the alternate gospels. There are a couple of different ones that can be used, and this one is the one that was used yesterday, and it can be used today, and it's going to be used again on Sunday. I think there's multiple meanings that we can extract from this gospel, and I think if the church is including it three times in 1 week, I better talk about it even more. So that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to key on this one particular point of healing, because there's a couple verses contained in this gospel that really, really bear some explanation, I think, because I think we miss the point sometimes when it comes to healing. So I want to talk about that today. So that's what I've decided on. I hope you're doing well. Man, we had a storm here. You know, you might know I live in South Jersey, and we had a tropical storm Isaias coming up. I love that. I mean, what an interesting name, right? I've been practicing that so I can get it right. Coming up the coast, and we fortunately did not lose power. There was some nasty wind, but we didn't have really any ill effects. But there are some people who are still struggling without power. We certainly want to keep them in our prayers. And there was some damage done. There were tornadoes in the area. I mean, you know, these tropical storms, you never know what you're going to get with them. I expected it to be somewhat treacherous. But we don't live exactly, we're not right on the coast, we're more inland, but it was still pretty nasty here, but thank God we are okay, and I hope if you are listening in any of the areas that was affected by the storm, that you are well, and that you have not lost power, or you didn't sustain any damage. But I'm doing well, I'm really, really fortunate. The only casualty, and we have this a lot, is the pilot light for our hot water heater blew out. That happens sometimes. When there's a draft that comes from the vent on the roof, it blows down and blows out the pilot. I was able to successfully light the pilot. You know, it makes me feel so good that I am not the least bit handy around the house. We've talked about this before on the show. I'm not the least bit handy, but I have learned how to relight the pilot light on the water heater, and it's quite an accomplishment for me. It's always, you know, it's funny, you get under there and you really can't see what you're doing. I keep telling myself that there's got to be a better way. You think they would have come up with a better system, but you have to get under there and reach your hand under, and you got to use one of these lighters, these automatic lighters. And every time I do it, you know, you're pressing the gas button, so you're letting the gas flow, and then you go in with a lit flame. I always imagine, you know, being not technical at all, I imagine just this big explosion. But it works out somehow, and I managed to get it lit again today, and the wind has died down now, so hopefully we're not going to have any more problems. But so I've had a bit of an adventure today. Anyway, it's good to be with you, good to be able to talk about this. This is what also what I wrote about in my daily email devotional today, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. I talked about this idea of healing. So I thought, let's talk about it on the program. We're going to pray now, and before we pray, I just want to let you know one more thing. Tomorrow, which is Wednesday, is my regular weekly appearance on EWTN Radio on the Sunrise Morning Show at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. So if you're able to check that out, I think you'll enjoy that. That's tomorrow at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. Now, Thursday, I'm just seeing this note here. I'll give you more information about this tomorrow, but I am going to be on Facebook Live with Justin Fatica, which I believe is carried on the EWTN broadcast this live as well. That's going to be Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to do an hour, and Justin's, he's amazing. You know, that's his big thing. You're amazing. That's his slogan. But this guy is amazing, and I've interviewed him when I had my radio show, but I've never been interviewed by him. So I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm so glad that he was able to ask me to do that. So I'll remind you of that tomorrow. But right now, let's pray. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father, give Him thanks, give Him praise, and ask Him for what we need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we praise You for Your power, for the fact that You have always existed. You are Almighty God, without beginning or end. You created everything out of nothing. You are omniscient. You know everything. You are omnipresent. You're present everywhere at one time. When we stand before You, there is nothing else to do except praise You for Your greatness, because You, Father God, are amazing. We ask You, Father, to pour out Your Spirit on us this day. Give me the words for the program. Open all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we can be receptive and willing to act upon Your message. Father, we ask that You help anyone who suffered damage from the tropical storm this day. Please keep them safe. Please provide for their needs. We also, Father, lift up anyone who is suffering from the effects of the coronavirus in any way. And we pray for a complete and total end to the virus. We know You can do that. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, Your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, you know, let's not sell them short. Let's give the Lord a chance. If you're not praying for this coronavirus to come to an end, it doesn't matter what the experts say. We've got to keep doing it. We've got to keep doing it. And then we have to be patient. That's hard to do sometimes, but we have to be patient and trust that God has a plan. And if He is allowing this thing to continue, there is a reason. There is a reason. We might not fully understand the reason, but we just have to trust Him. All right. But make sure you pray for an end to that virus, because it's doing so much damage. But don't think for a minute that God's not bringing good out of this, because He absolutely is bringing good out of it. Okay. I told you about this gospel. This is very intriguing. This was yesterday's gospel. It is one of the options for today's gospel, and then it's used again on Sunday, with the exception of a few verses at the end that are removed from Sunday's gospel. Now, by the way, I want to let you know, if you're not a regular listener of my weekly program, The Gary Zimek Show, I recommend you listen to the show. It comes out on Fridays. It's a podcast just like this one, 30 minutes. It's aired not only in podcast form, but it's also broadcast by several Catholic radio stations around the country. It's a weekly show, and I look at the Sunday Mass readings. So I'm going to be looking at not only this gospel, the same one that's used today, but also the first reading, the Responsorial Psalm, the second reading, and tie them all in together and try to find a common theme that I think the Lord is trying to for us to get out of it. So I would strongly urge you, if you enjoy this program, to give the weekly program a chance. You can find it at all your traditional podcast distribution outlets, wherever you normally get your podcast from. It'll be available there. You can also just go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and find a link to the podcast there as well. So there's a number of different ways to listen to it. But the point I'm going to make today, from the same gospel, the one that's used on Sunday, is different than what I'll say about Sunday's show. And actually, the point I'll make about this today is different than the point that I made about it yesterday. And in particular, I want to focus on the last couple of verses, because they're really powerful, and it has to do with healing. So let me read the whole thing. But I'm not going to start. I'm just going to read it. We'll take it for what it is. And then at the end, I want to emphasize some things, okay? Matthew 14, verses 22 through 36. And this takes place just after Jesus fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish. So he's coming off of a pretty big miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side of the sea while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, what we see here happening is Jesus is sending his disciples into what will be a storm because he wants to teach them something. And in the meantime, he is up on the mountain praying. I mean, if there was ever a great example of why we need to pray, this is it. Jesus is praying. You know, we're going to talk about praying for a healing on today's show, but prayer is so much more than that. Prayer is a relationship. It's how we grow closer to God. It's a way we communicate. We communicate to him. He communicates to us. Now, one of the ways he communicates to us in prayer is through the scriptures. Yeah, he'll give us thoughts sometimes. He'll give us ideas. Other people will communicate God's message to us. We can get it from a lot of different ways. But the one way that we can be sure we are hearing God speak is through his inspired word in the Bible. Jesus is praying. When it was evening, he was there alone. So he purposely carved out that time to pray, to have a conversation with his Father. And you know, I've told you this before. Please make it a point to do that. Spend some time in prayer each day. Talk to Jesus. Talk to the Father. Talk to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be a lot of time. You can gradually work up to it. But maybe like 5 minutes to start, 10 minutes if you're not used to it. Carve out that time to be alone in prayer. And then you could maybe pray throughout the day as you're driving, as you're walking. You could send up a quick prayer, a quick message to Jesus, you know, just talk to him. Hey, Lord, this is a really good show on TV. You know, something like that. It can really be that simple. Because he wants to share in your life. So while Jesus is praying by himself, meanwhile, the boat is a few miles offshore, is being tossed around about by the waves, for the wind was against it. See, this is the storm tossing the boat around, much like what many of us go through on a daily basis. Life has a way of tossing us around. During the fourth watch of the night, 3 to 6 a.m., a prime time for those of us who tend to be worriers, you know, we like to use that as our prime worry time. There's something about the night that just makes things seem even more hopeless. You know, wouldn't you agree with that? Even though they never are, things can feel hopeless at that time of the night. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. Now, these guys are so terrified, they don't even recognize Jesus. Now, there could be other reasons for it. It could be a lot of rain and waves, and they're having some trouble seeing Jesus. And the mere fact that somebody is walking on the water is enough to freak them out and make them think it's a ghost. But, you know, there's a good lesson for us. A lot of times Jesus comes to us, especially in the midst of the storm, and we don't recognize him. We don't recognize him at first, because the waves are crashing around us and we're distracted. So I would just say, be alert, especially if you're going through the storm right now, be alert for the ways that the Lord will come into the storm and help you out. And then what happened when they didn't recognize him? Jesus spoke to them and he said, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." The standard message that we see throughout the Old and the New Testament, whenever the Lord would say to his people or to an individual, "Don't be afraid," he would always add, "Because I am with you." And I think a lot of times we want our problems to go away. We think, well, if the problem will just go away, then I'll feel better. But God doesn't always operate like that. Sometimes he'll take the problem away, but other times he'll just say, "Look, I'm going to be with you in the storm. Because I think you can learn something from being in this storm." He doesn't do it to torture us. He does it because we do some of our best learning while we are in the midst of the storm. And then after Jesus spoke up and said that, Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you," Peter discerning, being careful here, "command me to come to you on the water." Now this is a good example of what we would call discernment. Peter's a fisherman. Peter's no dummy. Peter knows that technically it's not possible for a man to walk on the water, but he sees Jesus, he becomes inspired, and carefully he says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. He's trusting Jesus, which is pretty cool that Peter would do this. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Now we see a lot going on here. This is, I just love this story. I don't care how many times I tell this story. It's just so good. There's so much in here. When we look at the waves crashing around us, when we look at the problems we're facing, when we look at the statistics for COVID-19, we begin to panic, right? And sometimes we spiral out of control. Our panic causes us to worry and to lose hope. Because one thing about worry, it's not going to make you feel more hopeful. We don't spend time, I've done my share of worrying, so I know what this is like. When you spend time worrying, you're not going to come out of it all of a sudden feeling like everything's going to work out. You're going to feel like things are never going to work out. But what Peter did, see, he was smart enough, even though he was panicking and he began to sink, he shifted his focus from the storm, which is why he began to sink, to Jesus. And he did what we are all called to do in the middle of the storm. Cry out and ask for help. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him. And he said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, you know, he's saying you of little faith. Obviously, Peter had some faith. He doubted. And when he saw the waves, he began to panic. But he still knew enough to turn to Jesus and ask for help. And I think that's a great reminder for all of us. A great reminder for all of us. That no matter how much we panic, as long as you get to the point where you turn to Jesus and ask for help, might take you a little while, but as long as you get to that point where you recognize, wait a minute, he can help me, I would say you're in pretty good shape, because a lot of people never get to that point. They panic, they try to fix everything on their own, and they never think to turn to him. You might still end up doing something on your own. We saw that with the loaves and the fish and the feeding of the 5,000. When Jesus said to his disciples, you feed the people yourselves. And they say, all we got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then what happens? Jesus gets involved. He says, give me the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He multiplies them and then gives them back to the disciples, which I love. And he said, all right, now you distribute this. See, he makes up for our weaknesses, but he still expects us to do something. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? If you notice, Peter doesn't have an answer for that. And that's a really good question. And I think he could be asking all of us that question. Why did you doubt? Why is your faith so weak? And after they got, but there's an interesting point here. Let me finish this. After they got into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Yet, their faith was weak. And especially Peter. I mean, his faith was weak, but at least he had faith enough to get out of the boat. The other guys, they were still in the boat. But look, see what happened here. This experience of Peter walking on the water strengthened all of their faith. You know, because if you note, when they got into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat were saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Peter's not saying anything. It's the guys in the boat who are witnessing this. So you see the effect of what Jesus did. And obviously, this had an effect on Peter as well. But this is what the Lord does. He will sometimes take us into the storm, so he gives us a chance to trust him, to put our faith in him. And then when he comes through, then our faith grows. Now, that doesn't mean you always get what you want, because you don't. But you at least have to give him a chance to perform a miracle in your life. And I think this sets the stage for what I want to talk about next. Okay, so this is the story of Jesus walking on the water, Peter walking on the water. Their faith is strengthened. You'll hear this again on Sunday at Mass. But now there's a couple extra verses that are included here that's going to be what I really want to talk about today. It has to do with what happens when they land on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. After making the crossing, they came to land at Gennesaret. When the men of that place recognized him, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought to him all those who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak, and as many as touched it were healed. And that's the point I really want to concentrate on today. When Jesus entered the land at Gennesaret, people brought to him all those who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak. And as many as touched it were healed. All they had to do was touch Jesus, and they were healed. And that's why I asked you that question at the beginning of the show. Do you believe that Jesus still performs miraculous healings? I do. And I think sometimes we don't give him a chance, because it takes a lot of faith to pray for complete healing for somebody's cancer or what seems to be a hopeless or irreversible medical condition. Doesn't it? It takes faith. Because if it doesn't work, a lot of times we're scared. Like, if I pray for this complete healing and the Lord doesn't come through, what's going to happen to me, to my faith? I'm really not going to trust him then. Do you ever feel like that? That's a really common reason for not stepping out in faith and praying for that miraculous healing. But I'll tell you, I have seen miraculous healings. I've got 22-year-old twin girls who only had a 10% chance of being born alive, and I know what prayer can do, because I've seen it in action. You know, we prayed for their healing. We stormed the gates of heaven. We got hundreds of people to pray for the girls. They survived. They beat the odds. Does that always happen? No. So let's talk a little bit about miraculous healings. The point I want to make is sometimes we don't like to pray. You know, sometimes we just don't have the faith, and we don't think the Lord, if the doctor says, this is terminal cancer, this does not look good, a lot of times we just don't have the faith strong enough to pray for that healing. I'm not saying be unrealistic. What I'm saying is, with God, all things are possible. I believe that. If I know somebody has advanced cancer, I pray for their complete physical healing. And sometimes the people die. It doesn't always work out. But I do believe that the Lord wants to heal us. And I do believe that he can heal us. But I also believe that sometimes he has a reason for not healing us physically. And I trust him. What I want you to remember is this. Every time in the Bible, somebody approached Jesus asking for healing from some sort of ailment, they were healed. He never once said to anyone who approached him for healing, why don't you just carry your cross? This is your cross. Carry it well. He didn't say that. He healed them all, and that's what we see today. And I think it's safe to say that the Lord wants us to be healed physically. And he wants us to ask him to give him a chance to perform that healing in our lives. But yet we don't do it sometimes. You know, sometimes we pick up the cross and start carrying it instead of asking him to let the cross be taken away. And he might want to do that. So I would say, if you are suffering from any sort of an illness, or you know somebody who is, pray for healing. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, because you could probably do more. And you know, this is tricky. So I have to be careful what I say here. Your illness could be limiting what you can do for the Lord. You can do more work for him when you're feeling good. You can pray easier when your body is well. You know, because I know when I'm not feeling well, it's hard to pray. It's hard to do things. So I believe he wants you well. Now, sometimes, in certain cases, he allows the illness to remain. And at that point, after you've prayed for the healing, it becomes time to carry your cross. And yeah, there are some times when you can do more good through suffering than by being active. But that's up to him. See, when you turn to him and ask for a healing, what you're really doing is giving him a chance to work a miracle in your life. And you're also, by praying, but your will be done, you know, Lord, whatever you say, you're also being obedient and you're being submissive. You're surrendering to his will, which is a good thing. So my rule of thumb is I always pray for physical healings for people. But sometimes a spiritual healing is needed. Sometimes there's an emotional healing that's needed. And God knows what's best, and I trust him. So even though he might want you to get well, in general, he doesn't will sickness. He allows it sometimes to continue so that he can bring a greater good out of it. And I'll be honest, we're never going to figure that out. We're not God. But I do know of certain cases where people who were terminally ill received a profound spiritual healing. Even though their body wasn't healed, they had some big issues that were healed. See, so a lot of times, a different healing is needed other than a physical one, and we don't realize it. But the reason I want to say this to you is I want to encourage you, if you know somebody who is ill with anything, pray for them. Pray for their complete healing. And don't give up. Sometimes healings take time. I've witnessed healings that have taken time. A lot of times the Lord will heal gradually. It's okay. You pray, please heal my wife, my son, my daughter, my husband. And then if the healing doesn't happen, then you carry your cross each day. But you can keep praying for that healing to happen. I just want to encourage you to give the Lord a chance to perform a healing miracle in your life, okay? Hey, if you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you get a chance, don't forget to visit my website, followingthetruth.com. I hope you'll be able to listen to me on the Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow on EWTN Radio at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. And if not, I plan to be back here with another episode of Following the Truth. I had to think about that for a minute. Have a great day. God bless you.